We're going to read the story of the lost son or the prodigal son. Yeah, can you turn it down just a hair? Who has their sword? Who's got it open? Luke 15. Luke 15, starting at verse 11. How's that sound? That sounds a little better. Ashley's going to read for us today, so I've got to save my voice a little bit. That's for the real spiritual Christians. I'm not that smart.
What verse says?
Verse 11 to 32. By that time, it should be quarter till we can wrap this up.
Is that 15, 11? Mm-hmm. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, and make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they began to be merry. Not how much further can we go.
Amen. Good job. Good job. So this is the story of the lost son, or some people might know as the prodigal son. And the reason I picked this parable was life experience. So it's easy to go by because this was a good definition of my life and my walk. I'm just going to give you just a short background of my testimony. I was actually part of this church in 1989 to 1992. I was real young back then. About your age, Chelsea. I'm still young at heart, but just, you know, the body's not there. I was married before, if you don't know that, and I had went through a divorce. And to make a really, really, really long story short, I went back into the world, and some things happened to me, and got real sick, and practically died. You know, I needed a kidney transplant, and God was merciful. You know, praise God, I pulled through, and that was many years ago. And I rededicated my life to the Lord. What was great, though, is when I came back to Down River, I was kind of scared because I'd been gone, you know, for a few years. And but when I walked in, you know, instead of the story where the older brother was like, you know, mad and upset, well, my older brother Kenny was here, you know, Bob Cassidy, Eddie Madrano, those guys, man, they just welcomed me back, you know, with open arms. Oh, Pastor Don and Pastor John. So I was like, you know, loved on, and they put the robe on me, the ring on my finger, you know, the whole nine yards. Yeah, well, I definitely needed that too. So I was definitely welcome back, and praise God ever since. I did I go through like each verse by verse when I chose to do this study. So some of you, I handed out scriptures, so I know you're not afraid to read, right, Matt, Fred, some of you other guys? Oh, Mike Hill snuck in. I like that. Okay. Verse 11, Jesus continued, there was a man that had two sons. Well, Jesus was addressing the tax collectors and the sinners, and the Pharisees, they were sitting around listening to him talk. So this is who he's addressing. This is his audience, okay? So verse 11 through 12. The younger son had said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. Time out. Who's older, Mark or Phil? I can't remember. I always forget.
Phil's
the younger?
Phil's older.
Oh, Phil's older. Yeah, yeah. That's right. So I was thinking about Pastor Don, you know, and how far apart are they? Like minutes? A few minutes?
A couple minutes
apart. So could you imagine, now here it says, you know, Father, give me my share of the estate, you know. And I was thinking about, you know, Mark coming up to his dad and just saying, you know, not asking, just coming up to his dad and saying, hey, Dad, I want my share of the estate. You know, how would you react to Pastor Don? Just curious. Or Kenny O'Rourke, how would you react if Jesse...
Jesse
who? Jesse. You know, So right away, this stuck out to me like, wait a minute, he didn't even ask. He's like demanding, come up to him, give me my share of the estate. Okay. So the father grabbed the paddle. No, he didn't do that. He says, so he divided the property between them, or the wealth between them. So he just gave it to him. But here's another thing, a point that came out to me. You know, he not only gave the younger son his share, he gave the older son his share. I didn't even realize that. So he divided the wealth between them. So the older son didn't ask for anything, but he still got his wealth, which was actually, the older son got two-thirds of the wealth. The younger son only got a third. So the prodigal son, he only actually got, by law, one-third of what was entitled to him. And usually they're supposed to wait until the father had passed before they received, like today. Amen? It says here, too, in my notes, any son that demanded what the young son did would be disowned by his father. And the public act would shame the son who had shown the disrespect. Okay, we're going to go back up here. We're going to go back to verse 13. It says, not long after that, or maybe in some translations, a few days later, it says, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. So he was ready. He packed up. He was going to party like it's 1999 BC. What's interesting here is, like, you know, as a father, you give him all that stuff, and the father, he didn't try to stop him. You know, maybe like Pastor Don, you might, well, maybe not Mark, but Phil, you might have tried to stop, you know, right? But he didn't try to stop him at all. And that's like, you know, it reminds me of when I had left the church in 92. You know, God didn't try to stop me. It's like, okay, you got free will. There were signs there and everything else where I should have stayed, but I had free will to leave, right? God will not try to stop you if you want to walk away. He gives us free choice, right? Free will. Who's got Joshua 24:15? Oh, come on, Fred.
Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestor, the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites, to whose land you live in. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen, amen. And then we have one, in the very beginning, going back to Adam and Eve, who's got that verse, Genesis 2:15? Oh, Matt. Did you guys win this weekend?
Yeah.
Good. So you're in a good mood.
Going from behind, too.
I like that.
Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die.
Right. And we all know what happened there. They chose to eat of that tree, and that was our downfall right there, amen. So, but they had a choice. God didn't, like, physically restrain them from that tree. You know. Okay, we're going to... It says here, too, in verse 13, when he left, he went to a distant country. And I think he basically wanted to get as far away from his father as possible. You know, when you walk away from God, you know, do you really want to hang around Christians? You know, if you know people that have left the Lord, they're not going to call you up and want to go hang out and stuff. They're going to get as far away from you as possible. Amen? But you know what? The Bible says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus said that, right? And I'll just share a quick story of what happened to me one time. I was in the middle of the world, and God still had, he'd been tugging at my heart, but, you know, he kind of drowned him out. So one day I'm in the gym, PD, and I was just warming up on the bench, just had one plate on each side, so, you know, piece of cake. And they had Z-Rock, was the radio station, so they were playing that at Powerhouse Gym, like, yeah, headbanging. All of a sudden, the radio station turned. I kid you not, and it was Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Wow. I'm like, really? And I'm sitting there, and I'm just warming up. I mean, that's not a lot of weight. And I'm warming up, and Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. And I literally started crying in the gym. I mean, these guys were huge. I'm like, this one guy goes, Brian, what's wrong? I said, man, I just ain't living right. I know I'm not, you know. But thank God I sucked it up, got over it, and, you know. Did I repent and turn around to God that day? No. Well, it wasn't too long after, you know, but, you know. Another couple of years. You know, you can't really hide from God, can you? No matter where you go. Who's got Jeremiah 23, verse 23? Oh, Sammy. Thank you for volunteering.
Yeah, right. Who can hide in the secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord.
That's good. That's right. You know, what's the old song? You can run, but you can't hide. Amen. Well, thank God. Thank God we can't hide. We can try to hide in our sin, and we try to go to the distant country like he did. But thank God he's still there, right? Even if you're in the worst of your sins. Okay, we're going to go on. We're going to go on to verse 14. It says, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. Man, he blew it all. And that's easy to do when you're living in the world, living for yourself. How many have really, like, blown it all or gotten into debt? It says, then he was in need. Uh-oh. He was hungry. This guy was hungry. You know, had no money, anything else like that. So we move on to verse 15. It says, so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. So he takes this job feeding pigs. Have you ever seen Dirty Jobs, the show, Mike Rowe? You know, he did one in Melvindale. Did you know that? There's a cow factory over here in Melvindale where they grind up cow bones and make makeup. And he said, literally, out of all his years, that was the dirtiest job ever. But I was watching the one, I think, Fred, you were telling me about the one in Vegas, right? Go ahead, give him the mic.
So you're saying all these women got cow bones on their face?
And whale blubber for perfume, but we don't want to go there. So Mike Rowe, he's in Vegas, and they're feeding these pigs this slop. And I mean, it looks like they're feeding them muddy water. It was like really nasty, stinky. It was old food from the buffets in Vegas. And they just grind it up, they put it in this juice stuff, and the pigs are like, they're in hog. Exactly. No extra charge for that joke. So it's a nasty, dirty, stinky job, but, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, right? But if you know anything about the Jewish culture, you know, pigs were considered unclean and despised by the Jews. But he still, you know, he took the job because he was hungry. Amen. Verse 16. So he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. You know, isn't that just like the world? You're out there and you know, you think you have friends in the world. And you might have some okay friends, but when times get tough, are they there for you? Or, you know? And I start thinking about this church as a family. I mean, I could pick up the phone, you know, today if I'm having a hard time. And, you know, 10 guys just right off the top of my mind I can call for prayer. You know, part of being family, right, Ed? I'd call at 3 in the morning, right, Bob? He gave me his blessing to do that. Verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death." So he comes to his senses. He had his aha moment. Like, he's in the middle of the slop and stuff. Like, what the heck am I doing? You know. And that's, you know, that's basically what happened to me. You know, when I was sick and everything, I was like, "What's going on?" You know, I could have died. That was my aha moment. Like, holy smokes, I better get back to the Father. Amen. And you know what? It's like many of us. We don't come to our senses till we're at our lowest point. I mean, how many came to the Lord right after they won the lotto? Right after they got back from the Caribbean, besides Karen? Anybody? You know, no, we were in bad shape, man. Nobody else would take us, right? What are we going to do? So we go to verse 18. It says, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and you.'" You know, when people say, "Well, when I sin, it's just you know, it's me. My sin doesn't affect anybody." Your sin affects other people. You know, maybe you're addicted to drugs, and you think, "Well, that only affects me." No, it affects your family, affects your parents, it just all the way down the line. Amen. And you know, not only hurts you, it hurts others. But who's it hurt most? God, right? It says the son recognized he was in sin, and he had a repentant heart. And he already had in mind what to say. You know, so he's already thinking, "Okay, what am I going to say? Okay, I'm just going to go back to my father." So you know what? You know, like when I came back to Don River, "Hey, Pastor Don, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I should have never left for those 5-6 years, whatever it was. You know, I repent." And I had already had in mind what to say, too. Amen. Verse 19. So he's going to say this. He's going to say, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." And to me, this shows he was acting in true humility. He wasn't going to come back. And remember, he had that cockiness before. "Hey, give me my inheritance," you know. Now he was broken, you know. And if you've ever been broken, hey, you know what? You'd be happy to, you know, do whatever it takes, right? Amen. Be back in your father's graces. Unless you like that movie, The End, with Burt Reynolds. Anybody ever see that one? If you haven't seen it, he's drowning in the movie. And he says, "Lord, I'll give you 100% if you just rescue me." Well, he starts getting a little closer to the shore. "Lord, I'm going to give you 80% if you just rescue me." You know, on and on. And finally, you know, he gets rescued. And it was like, you know. But how true is that, you know? We laugh at it, but really, it's really true. Verse 20. "So he got up and he went to his father." It says, "But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." You know, it's undignified for a Jewish man to run. You know, in that robe and everything, was considered, you know, hey, you don't want to do that, you know. But I could just imagine the scene. I mean, here comes the son, you know, and he's like, "Man, you know, I just blew it." You know, and he's walking and he looks at a distance and he's like, "Who's running?" You know, what's that going on? He's like, "Is that my dad? Is he running to beat me? What's going on?" You know, I don't know. You know, so Colin gets a little closer. He goes, "Yeah, it is my dad." okay, you know, so I don't, I'm just going to expect the worst, right? You know. How true is that, though? We're in our sin or whatever, and we think, you know, God, you know, that's a lie of the enemy, too. He wants to come in, you know, yeah, you've done this. Oh, God's going to do this. God's going to, you know. Did God beat you with a stick when you guys got saved or returned to the Lord? Did we get what we deserved? No, thank God. Psalm 103:8. Who has that? Somebody's got it because I passed it out. Do they? Well, maybe not. Maybe I have it. I did pass out 4 scriptures, though. Well, you know, it's like the analogy of the father running out to meet him, you know, is like, what a beautiful example of God's love and his tender mercy towards us when we repent and come to him, right? I'll read it. Psalm 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And I thank God every day that, you know, God's merciful and he's tender with me. Because, man, there's days I need to be whacked. But thank God that he's merciful, he's gracious. Anybody relate to that? Bob? Wait.
Pastor, before I lose my thought, I'm old.
You all.
What I was going to say is, he's seen him coming. You read that, right? You said he's seen his son coming.
Yeah.
Must have meant he was looking.
Yes.
He, no matter what, there's always hope. We see, like Brian said, we see how bad our lives is. Sometimes we take for granted when somebody else leaves. We don't look for them. Ah, they're gone. They ain't coming back. You know how they are. You know, God's going to deal with them. Don't worry. We should always have that hope, that expectation that God is going to change them. God is going to work with them. Because we're sitting here, we're all living examples, especially Brian.
Yes, sir.
That God never gives up. And his father never gave up either. Just like the widows, when they used to, on the seashores, used to have those little walks on top of their roofs. Even if it was reported that ship went down, every day they were up there looking for their husbands to come home. We should be the same way, expecting God to do miracles. Never give up.
Amen. Amen. Verse 21, the son said to his dad, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The son confesses his sin. And the father forgives him, just like God will forgive us when we repent, when we confess our sins. You know, did somebody have 1 John 1:9? Okay. I didn't know which verses I gave out here. So.
Obviously.
Ouch. Pastor Don, do you remember that verse by heart? Oh, you wasn't paying attention. Okay. I know you know this scripture. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And will yep. And he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Hey, all we got to do is come to the Lord, confess our sins, and truly be repentant, have a humble heart. He's ready, willing, and able to forgive us. Amen?
I think that was... Sorry. Now you know how I feel, brother.
Get some young legs. I think that's the most important part, almost, of this entire story. You know what he says? I sinned against the Lord. That's what changed him, knowing that he sinned against his father. Would not have been of that great a change. When the fact that he realized that he had sinned against God, that what he'd done was wrong in God's eyes, that's what changed him. That's what brought him home. That's what finally convicted him. He could have easily come home and said, well, you know, I'm sorry, Dad, just because he wanted to come back home and eat. But that's not what he said, was it? He said, I sinned
right
to the Lord. That's the most important thing. We don't sin against anybody but God. We got to work with that first.
Amen. Amen. So he's ready to take his lumps when he says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But I like this. But the father said to his servants, quick, Bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. You know, he gives them the best robe. Hey, when you give your life over to the Lord, God wants you to have the best. Amen. Maybe not the most expensive. He wants the best. He's got the best plan for you.
No.
And it's 10 years old, Bob. I don't want to hear that. The symbolic significance of the robe is righteousness. In Isaiah 61:10, the ring is a signet ring. It's family identity. And the sandals refer to walking according to the gospel. The whole image is one of reclamation when the son is returned to his family. So it says they began to celebrate. Verse 24. So they hired out a DJ, and he puts on Cool and the Gang, Celebrate, and and We Are Family by Sister Sledge, and hey, they all lived happily ever after, amen. Right?
Wow.
Not quite. As Paul Harvey would say, then there's the rest of the song. It says, while they're partying, having a good time, they had the hookahs, Sammy, you know. They did back then. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him, hey, what's going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older son, he's overjoyed. His younger brother's back, right? No, he's pretty ticked off. And, you know, he was so mad, he refused to go in, you know. And God, he doesn't want us to have that heart, you know. I mean, there might be people that struggle, and they come, you see them come in and out of church or whatever, but he wants us to welcome them back. Amen. Be the good, like when Kenny and Eddie and all those guys, Bob, had welcomed me back. Amen. He wants us to have that type of attitude. Not like, oh man, here comes Brian again. What the heck? Okay, we're going to go on. We're almost done. So the older brother, he became angry and refused to go in. So his father, he went out to plead with him. And I looked up the word plead, and it means to beg earnestly and often in emotional terms. So it wasn't like he just went out and said, hey, come on in. Your son. He's like, he's pleading with them. You know, if you ever had to plead with somebody, you know, so he's out there, he's like, come on in, come on, come on, you have to celebrate. But he answered his father, the older son, says, look, exclamation mark. So he's, you know, you got that exclamation mark, he's ticked. He says, all these years I've been slaying for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young Ferrari or goat that I could celebrate with my friends. Now, wait a minute. Didn't he get his share of the inheritance at the beginning of the story? That's what I read, right? Okay. So really, he had been blessed, and he forgot about that already. He says, but when this son of yours, who has squandered your property or wealth with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You know, the older son, he was like giving it to his dad. You know, like, hey, you know, you never did this, and blah, blah, blah. You know, now the dad could have said, hey, wait a sec, hold on, Junior. You know, I gave you your inheritance, this and that. He could have been stern with them. But he also dealt with the older son in love, just like he did with the younger son. It says he dealt with him not harshly, but in gentleness and love. Have you ever, don't raise your hand. Have you ever had the attitude of the older son? Man, Lord, that's not fair. You know, this person's only bread. Go.
Last comment.
You sure?
But, I mean, I never really felt like that, but when I read that scripture, that the older son, I mean, just I get out of it that it seems like he might have had that desire to go party or whatever, and he kind of fought it off, you know, I guess, and stood with the father.
Right.
And so maybe when he seen the son, the younger son leave, you know, and then come back and everybody's like, glad you're back, you know, I don't know, it seems like, you know, there's jealousy there.
Yeah.
You know, like, I done what was right, you know, this guy goes and he, now everybody gets party because he's back. You know, I guess he wanted him, seems like he wanted him to be, like, punished more or whatever.
Amen. I like, you know, what the father says to him. And it's a good thing if you've been serving the Lord for any length of time and you never walked away from Him, thank God. You know, the Bible says, let me get this right: it's better not to have known the Lord than to know Him and walk away. Amen. And then plus, you know, too, I think there's a double attack on you, because when you're a Christian and you decide, you know what, I'm not going to serve God now. Uh-oh, now you're walked out from your protective covering, and the devil and all his buddies, they're going to come at you. More so than if you were just an unsaved, you know, Joe Schmo, you know. Now he went, oh, you're one of God's kids. Guess what? Here we go. Amen. So this was great, great ending here. He says, my son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. You know, so he was glad. He was the son, like you said, Fred. You're right. He was there. He was always with them, and he did do the right thing. But he was commended. But they were trying. He's trying to show. You know what? We have to celebrate. Who had Luke 15:7? I know somebody's got that. Oh, Taylor.
I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.
Amen. Amen. More joy in heaven over one who repents. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And we'll have Karen sing the song to finish us up. Now we're going to close in prayer. Esther, close us up.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day. And thank you for the words that Brian spoke today, Father God. I know that each of those words were meant for something within our hearts, Father God. I pray that we would continuously pray about those issues within our hearts, and that righteousness and more love and more of your grace would flourish out of our hearts, Father God. Continuously bless this day and bless the service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.